Good morning and welcome to this edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine. Before I introduce my guest to you, a little background on what we're going to talk about. So on June 8th, 2006, the FDA approved a cancer prevention vaccine that helps protect against six types of cancer. It was one of the greatest cancer breakthroughs of our time. But 12 years later, only 35.8% of Missouri kids are receiving this vaccine. So that means a huge number of millennials who could have been protected against certain cancers were not. Now the American Cancer Society is stepping in. They don't want this to be the norm for future generations. So on June 8th, 2018, the American Cancer Society launched a public health campaign to protect the nation's kids from HPV cancers. It's a nationwide movement. They want to increase HPV vaccination rates to 80% by June 8th, 2026. So today I have two guests to talk about the local efforts and to educate the community about the HPV vaccine. And one of those guests, a local pediatrician, she will talk about the vaccine and explain how parents can have access to it as it is back to school time. So it's vaccine season. But first, let's talk to Deborah Leonardis. She is the health systems manager with the American Cancer Society. Good morning, Deborah, and how are you?
Very well. How about yourself, Joe?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for asking. Before we talk to our pediatrician, Dr. Kristen Winger, let's talk first, Deborah, about the American Cancer Society and this launch of this new campaign and why it's happening.
Sure, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jill. We really appreciate you inviting Dr. Winger and I to talk about the launch of the American Cancer Society mission, HPV Cancer Free. Our objective really is to reach out to the community and provide that awareness around what the HPV vaccination is today. So today, Dr. Winger and I are just so excited to be able to provide this awareness to your audience. So let's start with the community awareness campaign of Mission HPV Cancer Free. Why HPV vaccination and why now?
Okay.
Well, simply, HPV vaccination is cancer prevention, and it prevents infection against six types of cancer. The challenge is, Jill, that even with this powerful tool to prevent multiple cancers, the HPV vaccination rates really lag behind those of other preteen vaccines, such as the Tdap and the meningococcal. So, Jill, did you know that the HPV vaccine has been in use since 2006, along with other preteen vaccines?
No, I didn't. And it's interesting. I'm so glad that we are talking because this is one of those situations where it's not talked about enough and more people need to talk about it. And we've got to get this clarification out to those.
Absolutely, Jill. And that's why we are so excited to be able to present this to your audience. You know, in fact, the HPV vaccine and the other preteen vaccines, that would be the Tdap and the meningococcal, were really recommended as vaccines about the same time. So as we move through this discussion, there's really four simple bullets that we'd like the audience to remember and be aware of, and that's the HPV vaccination is cancer prevention, it's safe and effective, it's for boys and girls, and it's best when given at age 11 to 12. So if we take a step back and do a deeper dive of measurements and metrics, here's where it gets really interesting. So, Jill, the U.S. actually lags behind other developed countries in protecting our kids against HPV cancer. And the American Cancer Society and Dr. Winger believes that no one should face a diagnosis of cancer that really could be prevented. And to bring this even closer to home, Jill, today only about 36% of our Missouri kids are up to date with their HPV vaccinations. And when we say up to date, we mean having received their full schedule of doses. Compared to the nation, whose rate is about 60%. So those numbers popped for us, and that was very significant, and we really wanted to improve this. So how does this work get done? Well, since 2015, the American Cancer Society has been working and partnering with other healthcare organizations, and our focus is to continue to work towards that goal of 80% vac rates by 2026. In fact, our strongest partnering is working with our local hospital systems, providing our support and resources, that parents are made aware of the cancer prevention aspects of the HPV vaccine so that they have all the facts. Mercy Hospital is really one of our earliest adopters with the messaging of saving lives through cancer prevention with the HPV vaccination. And it's really being driven by Dr. Howard Schlansky, who's the pediatric department chair, and his team at Mercy Clinic East Community. Dr. Shalansky has been a very strong advocate for HPV vaccination and a supporter of the American Cancer Society, educating the community. In fact, we are very blessed because he actually sits on our national HPV roundtable, and it's because of Dr. Shalansky that we were actually able to get an introduction to Dr. Kristen Wenger, who is doing some great work herself with her pediatric patients and team at Mercy Clinic in Hazelwood. So it has been such a pleasure to partner with this team, as they really are true patient advocates. So at this time, let me go ahead and I'll turn the conversation over to Dr. Wenger, who can share with us what she, her and her team are doing at Mercy and some of the insights around the value of the HPV vaccination.
Dr. Wenger, before you begin, I'd like to ask you how you got involved specifically with this whole movement. Was there something that resonated with you or just touched you that said, hey, this is what I want to put my efforts in, this is what I want to study?
Well, I think, as Deborah touched on, and I will too, this vaccination is sort of the essence of preventative medicine, where a lot of things that we do in pediatrics are for the moment in time, the specific developmental level. This is actually something that we can invest in the health of our patients for the rest of their lives. These vaccines were not available when I was eligible to get them, and the way that they work is they prevent something, certain cancers that usually don't occur until later in adulthood, but really can be traced back to preventing them, you know, in the pediatrics office.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So let's go ahead and start talking about the HPV vaccination truths, because there are a lot of things out there that, of course, aren't true. And we want to make sure the listener is educated about this particular vaccine.
Well, so while we want to emphasize that HPV is cancer prevention, scientifically, HPV is a group of viruses that about 80% of people contract at some point in their lives. Usually it's in early adolescence. So that's 4 out of 5 people will have an infection with HPV at some point in their life. So the body, a lot of the time, can clear the virus and it goes away without any trouble. But with HPV, it's a virus that sort of likes to set up shop in the body. And some of the most aggressive types of HPV, again, there are multiple types, can cause changes in the body's cells, and that's what actually starts the progression towards cancer. So by preventing the infection, we're preventing the chance for these viruses to sort of take root and cause aggressive cancers later in life.
All right, I have to interrupt you, Dr. Wenger. I think that somebody listening right now might be a little bit confused when it comes to HPV and what it is. And we are not beating around the bush here. This is a situation where some people raise some flags because HPV is considered a sexually transmitted disease, correct?
Well, it is. HPV is a virus, like we said. There are a lot of different HPV viruses. Some cause the common warts on your hands and feet, but there are a subset that are transmitted sexually, and some of the more severe strains or aggressive strains are associated with 6 types of cancer that affect both men and women. So cervical cancer being the one that we most commonly associate, but also vaginal, vulvar, anal, penile, and even cancers of the mouth and throat. So there is a little bit of sensitivity when you're sitting in the office with a parent and an 11 or 12-year-old child about how to sort of navigate these waters.
So how do you do that? Because as a parent myself to a very young child, this is going to be something that gets brought up in about 8 years.
Yes. And it's never easy, but I start out the conversation telling parents about my own children. I've vaccinated my oldest child for HPV, and my 2 younger ones will be vaccinated when they're old enough. And what I tell the parents is, you know, what HPV, the kind that can cause these cancers eventually, are so common. Like 4 out of 5 people will have an infection at some point in their life. And usually the infection occurs within a couple of years of first becoming sexually active. And, you know, talking about the mode of transmission of a virus, it's important. It's important to address their concerns. But like any other vaccine, we don't necessarily dwell on the mode of transmission of pertussis, for example. So we talk about the transmission, but because they are so prevalent, the likelihood that a person will become infected is about 80%. And then from there, some of the more aggressive forms, like I mentioned, can linger, and those are the ones predisposing to cancer. So what I tell parents is to think about their child as a 25 or 30 or 40-year-old man or woman and the kind of prevention that they would want to put in place to prevent their child from having cancer, from going through excessive treatments and tests. What I really do tell parents is if they are concerned about their child being sexually pure, waiting for marriage, I say, well, if their future husband or wife made a different decision earlier on and then had a change of heart later on, you know, by that age, they still can acquire HPV, and it's not a moral decision at that point. Mm-hmm. It's just a healthcare decision. The Catholic Medical Association, Mercy is a Catholic organization, encourages vaccination for HPV. They have no ethical or moral problem with the vaccine, and they've stated in a document that I read that it's ethical and moral good to prevent disease.
That's very insightful. And I know as a parent, definitely something that just kind of rang a bell with me. So then it's safe to say with all these conversations that you're having, the HPV vaccination is becoming the new normal.
So absolutely. HPV vaccination, my practice, I find parents are very willing to choose HPV for their child, along with the meningitis vaccine and the Tdap booster. We call those the middle school vaccines. We offer them at age 11. Parents are very willing, I find, if we talk about what these vaccines are for and what they are preventing.
And let's talk again about the best age to give this vaccine. We talked a little bit about it, but the reasons behind it.
So we have found, studies have shown that the vaccine works best when given at around 11 or 12. So studies have actually shown the immune response is more robust when the vaccine is given at 11 and 12. It's a two vaccine series. It used to be the case if we don't complete those two vaccines by age 15, that it becomes a three vaccine or three shot series. So we recommend getting it done before age 13.
Of course, I have to ask, it's safe and effective?
It is very safe and effective. Side effects, like any medicine, any vaccine, are mild at most. A sore arm or maybe a headache or rarely a fever.
If you're just tuning in, my guest today for St. Louis Voices, Deborah Leonardis, the Health Systems Manager with the American Cancer Society, and Dr. Kristen Winger, a pediatrician at Mercy. And we are talking about this HPV public health campaign, the nationwide movement to increase HPV vaccination rates up to 80% by June 8th of 2026. And one of the things that opponents of this vaccination say, since you are suggesting the best time to give the vaccination, Dr. Winger, is at the age of 11 and before 13, that you're promoting these children be sexually active. But that's not what this is about at all.
Right. That's exactly right. We're taking advantage of the medicine that we have to basically provide immunity for a child for something that they may or may not come in contact with in real life. And that's exactly what mm-hmm. we do for polio, for example, despite how exceedingly uncommon polio is. The vaccine works like any other vaccine to stimulate the body to, what I like to tell my patients is to stimulate sort of a preformed army of immune cells that are going to be targeted against that illness when they, if and when they encounter it in real life.
And Jill, one of the things that we have heard from our constituents is, you know what, I listen to my doctor. And I really, the American Cancer Society applauds Dr. Wenger and Mercy with being very transparent and taking this approach. Because when you bundle it, that, you know, it's time for your child to get their injections, their Tdap and meningococcal, and let's add on the HPV for cancer prevention. It just makes sense to have that type of a standing order. So, yeah, that's one thing that we do here is that patients do listen to their physicians.
Well, let's go ahead and continue with some more HPV vaccination truth. Deborah, can you talk about the disparities in vaccine uptake in rural areas of the U.S.?
So there are unique issues when talking about HPV vaccine and racial, ethnic, and economic disparities. Most of the challenges with HPV vaccine acceptance and compliance are with middle-income white families. HPV vac rates are moderately higher among adolescents below the poverty level compared to those at or above the poverty level. The one place where true disparities are seen involves those geographic disparities. There are large differences in HPV vac rates between states, ranging anywhere from 26 to 71%. And further, rates of HPV vaccine series initiations are lower in rural areas than in urban areas. And because Tdap vac rates are substantially higher than HPV vac rates in rural communities, access to care is not the cause of the disparity.
So what we talked about a little bit ago, Deborah, it's about getting involved and your partnership with Mercy and just making sure that we have the key players in place for those to learn a little bit more about this HPV vaccination and what it can do.
Absolutely. And I think the four bullets to take away are HPV vaccination is cancer prevention, it's safe and effective, is for boys and girls, and the vaccine series is best when given at age 11 to 12. And if a parent or anyone is looking to delve deeper or has any questions, absolutely reach out to your family pediatrician, as well as visiting our American Cancer Society website at www.cancer.org, where you'll get a plethora of information that you can print out, frequently asked questions, and it will take a deeper dive into everything we've talked about today.
So something that just keeps coming to mind with me on this particular topic, it's not talked enough about, but if we look at maybe the history of different cancers, so I'm just going to use lung cancer as an example. Obviously, I am not an expert. I don't know everything about it. But when lung cancer, it became apparent that it was correlated with smoking, a big campaign happened with the American Cancer Society to quit smoking, to get smoking out of bars and restaurants so that people could learn more about the effects that smoking has on individuals. And so I feel like this is another one of those campaigns where you have to start out small to get big to where everyone's talking about it. Do you feel sort of the same way, Deborah?
I do. And that, I think that's a really good example, Jill. Think of breast cancer. 10, 15 years ago, kind of didn't talk about it as openly as we do now. Now we've got commercials, we have walks, we have billboards. It's very comfortable for people to talk about. I think the more the community gets comfortable with understanding cancer prevention, discussing it with their pediatrician, discussing it with their children, it will become a lot more common and a lot more comfortable.
Well, and you'll even probably attest to this, even colon cancer. People get scared about talking about colon cancer and
yep,
where that could come from. And that's not something that we should be ashamed of.
That is correct. That is correct. And I also am a cancer survivor. I had a different type of cancer. But if I can prevent anybody from having to go through cancer, and that's what this vaccine does, boy, I want to shout it from the rooftop.
So. Well, I'm so happy that you are a cancer survivor and you're here to help with this information. I want to ask Dr. Wenger again from her perspective as a pediatrician at Mercy. Again, if a parent comes in and they just are not feeling it, they feel like this is something that is glorifying sexual relations, even though it's not, what would you say to them?
I would listen to them carefully because I think, you know, understanding the perspective that they're coming from is very important. And I would come to them with a, you know, a position of compassion because they obviously care for their child and are worried about that. One of the advantages of primary care is I see my pediatric patients frequently, at least every year, starting in the late school age to early teens. And so there's time, and hopefully even, you know, starting younger, to build a relationship with the parent so that they feel that they can ask me any question, that I can be a sounding board, that they would use my office and our medical knowledge as their research as opposed to internet searches. And, you know, I ultimately respect a parent's decision for their child, but honestly, I have not had very many situations where with a child where I have a good relationship with the parent and we're having a good conversation and they're realizing that I'm able to talk about anything, that most of the time parents do end up choosing the HPV vaccine just like they do the meningitis vaccine or the Tdap vaccine.
Because we want what's best for our child.
Right. Absolutely. I talk a lot, for better or worse, about my three children with my patients and some of their quirks and struggles. And so I do have compassion for parents who want what's best for their children. And again, the good thing about having a relationship in primary care is we can build that relationship over years.
Well, something you said earlier in this interview that I think definitely should resonate with most parents. You got to not just think about your child. You got to think about your child's and who else they encounter. You can't control what all these other individuals are doing, and you can't control whether or not their parents made this decision. And I'm not saying, please don't think that I'm saying you're a bad parent if you don't choose to do this. If you are worried about your child and their safety, it's hard for you to worry about another child's safety and the things that they could encounter, but they could hook up with your child. And I don't mean hook up as in hookup, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that you made a point earlier in the interview about thinking about the other person. And that kind of resonated with me.
Well, and that's interesting because you've touched on the point in medicine, which we call herd immunity. And that's just that for any vaccination, HPV is no different in that sense, is by getting the prevalence or incidence of a disease down in society, we're actually protecting everyone else. So either people who cannot be vaccinated for health reasons or choose not to. So really, vaccination helps everyone.
I 100% agree, and I have no problem saying I am for vaccines and for what they do, not only for my child and baby number two on the way, but also for others. So we have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that both of you get the last word. Make sure that our listener is fully educated on this campaign and anything else that's going on with the American Cancer Society. Deborah, what are your final thoughts?
Well, the American Cancer Society would encourage parents to continue to work with their family pediatrician. Again, I've mentioned this before, but the four key bullets is HPV vaccination is cancer prevention, it's safe and effective, it's for boys and girls, and the vaccine series best when given at that age 11 to 12. If you have any other questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to your family pediatrician. And again, you can go to our American Cancer Society website at www.cancer.org. It is cancer prevention, and it is the new normal.
And Dr. Winger, what about you? Last-minute thoughts that you would like the listener to know?
You know, I would just encourage parents to approach their child's pediatrician for any opportunity to talk about vaccines or anything else. Like I said, we're parents. Most of us are parents, too. We care about our children. We've gone through the same wondering, the same sort of deciding what's best for our children. Oftentimes, I think the parents approach vaccination, it causes them fear. But, you know, that they're, the fear of doing something somehow resonates with them is worse than not doing anything at all. But just that, you know, as pediatricians and parents, we're not shocked or scared to talk about the hard stuff, too.
Well, I will tell you, Dr. Winger, just hearing you talk and you relate this back to your life, you made me feel more comfortable, and you also opened my eyes to realize that I need to have those conversations with my pediatrician as my daughter and baby number two on the way when they both grow up. And I don't know all these things yet as a new parent. So knowing that that's what you pretty much suggest, I'm sure all pediatricians definitely want to have that open dialogue with the parents, just to talk to them and to get their advice and to just have a real conversation, just parent to parent. That makes me feel so better. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
There has been so much great information and insightful information given this morning. And I just want to remind the listener that this campaign is about the HPV vaccination being cancer prevention. And as of now, as of today, only 35.8% of Missouri kids have received this vaccine. And again, that means a huge number of millennials who could have been protected against certain cancers were not. So we don't want this to happen for future generations. So this big campaign that the American Cancer Society has launched, they want to increase HPV vaccination rates to 80% by June 8th, 2026. And it's possible to do with the right individuals and the right communication and the right dialogue. So I encourage you to learn more about this campaign and what you can do or what you need to learn about. I mean, there's definitely questions along the way, and you should have those questions answered. You can go to cancer.org. I also encourage you to talk to your pediatrician to learn more. They will openly speak to you, just like Dr. Kristen Winger talked to me earlier and to you. So again, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Kristen Winger, thank you for joining us. It's been really great to talk to you too about this new campaign with the American Cancer Society.
Oh, thank you, Jill, for the opportunity to talk to your audience. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That wraps up another edition of St. Louis Voices. As always, thank you for joining me this Sunday morning. Have a great day.